I'm very happy now to welcome Desiree Mays. She is a writer and lecturer about opera. She's a storyteller, a regular on this show. We do a program about the Santa Fe Opera every year. She's the author of the book that comes out every year called Opera Unveiled, which is about the five operas of that season's, the coming season's Santa Fe Opera. Welcome, Desiree.
Hello, Mary Charlotte.
So Opera Unveiled is coming out in just a few days.
It is, and we're doing the big launch next week at the Unitarian Congregation of Santa Fe. That's that beautiful space on Barcelona off Cordova. This is actually the 14th book now. I can't believe it. 14 years I've been doing Opera Unveiled.
Amazing.
And the focus, the purpose of the book is to introduce people to the five operas of the Santa Fe opera season. Especially this year, I think the book should be helpful because we're doing some operas that I know most people won't know, a couple I had never even heard of before I started researching these operas. Yeah, yeah. Maometto Secundo is, that sounds wonderful, it's an opera by Rossini, so you think it's going to be like the Barber of Seville. No, it's the same composer, but it's more of a Rossini in a serious vein. The music is glorious, and it turns out that Maometto Secondo is actually Mehmed, who was the extraordinary Ottoman sultan who took Constantinople in the 1400s. So it's a sort of a little fictitious story based on him and the siege of Negroponte, an island off Greece, where he finds that he has fallen in love with the daughter of the man whose city he is absolutely just devastated.
Oh, dear.
So it's one of those great stories. I call it a siege opera. And that'll be different. King Roger is an opera by Karol Szymanowski. Actually, Król Roger is the Polish title. It'll be sung in Polish by a wonderful baritone, Mariusz Kwiczyn, who sang our Don Giovanni here. That's an amazing piece. When I heard this, it is contemporary music, but it's what I call, for me, it's sensual contemporary music.
Thinking about all these poor opera singers who have to learn Polish.
I know. Well, for Marius, for once, he's singing in his own language.
But, okay.
Yes, that's a challenge. And actually, I think because it'll be sung in Polish, its original language, will add to the strangeness and the intrigue of this, not intrigue, but the intriguing sound of this piece, where King Roger has to confront a shepherd, but the shepherd turns out to be Dionysius, who entices his wife and his people off to Bacchanalian orgies and, you know, all of that wonderful stuff. So he has to decide and make a decision whether he is going to remain ruler, follow the shepherd, and try and get his wife back. The director, Stephen Wordsworth, who is one of the great directors, this will be a fabulous show, said on one level this is a story about a man who loses his wife and goes to find her and finds that he too is attracted to the extraordinary shepherd who is like a guru. You know how people follow gurus? It's a little bit like that.
In Santa Fe?
In Santa Fe, people understand that, right? So, and that's King Roger. The Pearl Fishers is an opera that's not very often done. It's set in Ceylon, now Sri Lanka, in pre-Christian times. A wonderful story of two men who are blood brothers, that they love one another, but they've fallen in love with the same woman, which of course makes for disaster. She is a chaste priestess who has come to their village to pray while the pearl fishers dive for pearls once a year. This is a pretty dangerous way of making a living in those days, because they did it without any equipment, of course, and a lot of them died. So her job is to pray and remain chaste, and of course one of the two guys, the tenor, of course, follows her, and they fall in love, and there's a big drama, and the baritone has to sort it all out in the end. So,
and who's the composer of that?
This is Georges Bizet.
Ah, right.
We all know Bizet for his Carmen, and this was the lead into Carmen, if you like. He wrote Carmen 12 years after the Pearl Fishers. There's a beautiful duet in this opera that everybody will recognize, of the two men. So the music is lovely in this. It's very accessible. It's a very fantasy-like piece. Then Arabella is set in Vienna with its waltzes. This is a time when Vienna was beginning to lose its glitter. Things were beginning to go downhill, and her family need to get her married off so that the family can be saved by a good match. but she's holding out for the right man. She's not going to marry anyone just for the sake of the family. And of course, in the opera, she finds the right man, who turns out to be Mandrika, who arrives from the wilds of Croatia. In those days, that was the wilds, but he's very rich, and they fall passionately in love, and that's a lovely story.
And then that's Strauss.
That's Richard Strauss, yes. And then the fifth opera of the season is the great Tosca by Giacomo Puccini, which everyone knows, but you can never get enough of Puccini. Every time I sit down and listen to that again, it's fascinating. We have a wonderful singer, Amanda Escalach, whose name I've probably made a terrible mess of. She came to the fore very suddenly last year when Angela Gorgu was to sing Tosca at Covent Garden in London and couldn't sing, and this young woman did the proverbial thing, stepped into the spotlight and gave a fantastic performance, apparently, so we're really thrilled to have her. So it's going to be an exciting season, and this is all in my book, All in Opera Unveiled 2012, which will be launched on Wednesday, the 18th of April at 5:30 p.m. at the Unitarian Congregation of Santa Fe, which is on Barcelona, just off Cordova, across the road from the Radio Cafe here, sort of.
Oh, right, Barcelona Street.
And Cordova, and everyone is welcome. This is being sponsored by the Santa Fe Opera Guild. They always launch the books now, which is great. So, yes, this is a Santa Fe Opera Guild event, and it's free to Guild members and everyone. There's no charge to come to this. And at the end of the talk, I'll talk about the operas. I'll play some music. I really believe if you're going to learn about an opera, you need to hear what it sounds like. So there'll be music and I'll sign books afterwards, and I hope everyone will come.
Desiree Mays, we look forward to that, and we also look forward to having you on the Radio Cafe. It's 5 opera shows starting on Monday, the 28th of May. That's Memorial Day, and we'll go for 5 Mondays. It's the same thing we've been doing every year for years now. Each Monday we do a new opera.
And play a lot of music.
Although we've been told sometimes our musical selections are too long. We'll find out.
We'll do more selections and make them shorter
this year. Exactly.
So tune in. Yes, they start on Memorial Day, 5 Mondays in a row.
5 Mondays in a row, Desiree Mays, lecturer, writer about opera, author of Opera Unveiled. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
I'd like now to welcome to the program Amy Beter. She is a poet. She teaches poetry at the University of New Mexico. Her latest book is called Now Make an Altar, and she will be reading on Sunday, April 15th at 2 o'clock at the Muse Times 2 Poetry Reading Series at Collected Works Bookstore, along with Atsuro Riley. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, how are you?
Nice to have you on the show. Let's start with a poem. Would you like to read something from your latest book?
I'll read the last poem in the book. That's okay. Called Black Horse. Black Horse. Without ceremony or preamble or a hand-drawn map, you will meet a black horse some night, standing on a road without streetlights, without benefit of the city's glow or even stars, through fields south of everything, near a dirty river, ditches ribboned with trash, with salt cedar and cottonseed. A shape that by crossing the road thus mutely and unknowingly devises the occasion of your death, seeking grass and wild mustard, breathing green, hay, spittle, the whole nose and lip twitching forward, humbly to glean any cheat or kernel, near and far, the way your portion of rain waits days out, the way in spring you know winter never comes, but at night you wake to a still voice. If not today, another day, if not this black horse, another.
Amy Beter from her book Now Make an Altar. The whole question of, as I was reading through your book, of how to read poetry comes up for me when reading. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a big question that I don't know how to start, because I mean, part of it is, I think, especially with work like yours, first of all, you have to read it aloud.
You do. Well, I think it's okay on the page, but it's fun to read aloud.
Yeah, well, it's a different experience when you read it aloud and you hear it and feel it differently, and the rhythms come in a different way. And I guess that's maybe true for most poetry. Then the second rule is you have to read it twice at least.
On the page. Definitely, yeah.
But what is your process of both reading and writing poetry. I mean, who are your some of your favorite and most influential poets in your life?
In my life, Dylan Thomas, Wallace Stevens, Elizabeth Bishop. Talking about old poets, Eliot, Shakespeare. More recent poets, D.A. Powell, the guy I'm reading with on Sunday, at Sir O'Reilly. A lot of wonderful contemporary poets.
The world of poetry seems to be almost a world unto itself. It's like everybody kind of knows each other and knows of each other's work.
Well, that's true in a way, but there are a tremendous number of new poets. I mean, I find myself reading journals, constantly finding new poets, people that I never heard of, that I don't know, that I'm impressed by. And I think that the world of poetry right now, contemporary poetry, is incredibly huge and exciting and new.
What's new and exciting about it? One of the questions that I always wonder about is, to what extent are people looking inward? To what extent are they grappling with the crazy world around them?
Well, I think that a lot of new poetry now is not so personal, inward looking. That it tends to be politically engaged, and referencing other poets and other works of literature and other works of art. I think that's one of the interesting things about poetry, about new poetry. Not that you can't have a good sort of personal eye poem, but I think we've moved far from the confessional at this point.
You are a former human rights observer, I read. Mm-hmm. And you were in Haiti, you were in Suriname. You taught high school in West Africa.
I did.
How does that set of experiences come into your work?
I don't write a lot of poems about those specific things. But I do think it informs things. I write a lot of poems that are sort of outward, not necessarily inward. Interested in the world and politics and stuff that's going on.
Tell us a little bit about the poet that you're reading with, Atsuro Riley. We unfortunately couldn't get him on the air.
I read Atsuro Riley's work about 5 years ago in Poetry Magazine. It was after I had just been published in Poetry for the first time, and the next month, Atsuro Riley's work was in there, and I was completely blown away by his work, as were a lot of people. I couldn't find out anything about him. I looked for him. He'd only published, I think, in a few magazines. Poetry was one of them. And then a few years later, he published a book, which I immediately got. And then last year, he read here, introduced Kay Ryan for the Lannan Foundation, and I got to meet him. And then I met him again when he read here again, and then he agreed to read with me this year, and I'm thrilled to read with him.
So this is your second book of poetry?
Second book.
And how does your whole work teaching feed into your own poetry work?
Teaching poetry is really fun, and it's a great job. I don't know that it necessarily helps you write, because it takes a lot of energy and it takes a lot of time. But I love to do it, and I do get ideas from my students, and I get to read a lot of interesting things in the course of my teaching. Which, yeah.
Do you think poetry is ultimately a gift?
In what way?
In the sense that not something that you can learn to do a good job if you don't have that gift in the first place. I only
can
ask
writing
this
be taught,
because,
yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean,
can writing be
there's
taught?
Some bad poetry in this
there
world.
There certainly is,
you
yeah.
see it and you don't know what to do.
You know, I took a workshop here years ago, maybe 14 years ago, with Charles Wright here in Santa Fe, and he said something really interesting. He said, poetry can't be taught. Notions of the lousy can be taught. And I think that is kind of what the teacher's role is in a creative writing class, what not to do. You can sort of guide them away from what's not working for them.
Right.
But ultimately, I do think there is an aspect that's ear and talent that maybe can't be taught.
Amy Beter is a poet who is reading this Sunday, April 15th, at 2 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore with poet Atsuro Riley. And it's part of the Muse Times 2 poetry reading series, which we sometimes feature on this show. I've missed some of them, but It's great that you'll be there, and we look forward to seeing you at Collected Works Bookstore.
Thank you.
And I'd like now to welcome to the program Ben Swan. He's with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. He writes about animals for the Santa Fe New Mexican. And we're talking today briefly about Bark the Vote.
Bark the Vote, yes. Ruff. This is our chance and our day to shine, our time to shine in the 100K Challenge. It's an ASPCA online qualifying round, online contest, in that when we get votes, enough votes, we can qualify to have a chance to earn or make over $100,000.
From the ASPCA?
From the ASPCA for really life-saving programs, creative adoptions, more spay and neuter, lots of behavior things, anything we want really, essentially.
Whatever animal shelter in the United States of America gets the most votes?
It's the qualifying round.
The qualifying round.
We have to be among the top five in our region. And right now, we're in the top 20. We're at number 15 in the nation.
In the nation. So we're already making the top five in the region.
We are. We're actually third because we have some really big heavy hitters in Arizona that are competing against us. But it's really awesome. It started last Thursday, and people have been really, you know, it's an easy, simple thing to do to show your support for your shelter. Just log in to www.votetosavelives.org.
VoteToSaveLives.org, mm-hmm. And then you can vote.
Go find on the list. You'll see Santa Fe Animal Shelter. You'll see where our standings are today. Then it'll go you to another site that says Vote Here. You vote, and if you haven't voted before, it'll give you a confirmation email. That's the only time you have to do it. They won't send you anything. You just be able to vote every single day.
And you can vote every single day up until
Monday at midnight.
Monday at midnight, so the 16th.
Yes, exactly. So it's really exciting. We have more than 5,000 votes. And like I said, we're 15th in the nation, and I've been sending out daily email reminders. If you'd like me to do that, feel free.
So how do they get in touch with you if they want to be on the daily email reminder list?
I've been having a lot of fun with it. I've been telling little stories about things that happen at the shelter, but really brief things because it's really just a reminder and a thank you. They can email me at shelter@sfhumanesociety.org.
That's easy.
Yeah, it's an easy one. shelter@sfhumanesociety.org. And vote every day. And you know, it is about money, but it's also about just showing support for your community shelter. We have tremendous support, and oftentimes, I mean, this is so empowering for everybody who works at the shelter and works with homeless animals, to see that the community really is behind them in their work. And then just very simple gesture of saying, hey, I like the Santa Fe Animal Shelter, here's my vote. And people really, really are excited about it.
Now, one of the shelters that has won in the past was from a community not much bigger than Santa Fe.
Exactly. It's incredible how these communities just get together behind their animal shelter and really support the animals and the work that they do. It's a fun thing to do because people just I send out an email blast and Twitter and all kinds of different posting on Facebooks every day, but I've made little cards and little posters, and some people even have been soaping windows, you know, Vote to Save Lives, Vote Santa Fe Animal Shelter, things like that. It's just, yesterday for example, I was out walking and I saw this woman walking her dog, and I introduced myself and said hello to her dog, and I mentioned the contest, and she was so happy just to take a few of my postcards because she wanted to show her support. And like I said, it's a very simple way of showing your support for the Santa Fe Animal Shelter, www.votetosavelives.org.
While we're here, mm-hmm. Are there any particular animals that you want to mention to us who are up for adoption?
Yes, of course. I do want to say that today is Lucky Day. Friday the 13th.
Yes, that's true.
And we do have an adoption special going on today for adult animals. And come into the shelter and you'll really inexpensive adoption fees for adult animals.
Adult animals. Adult. That means 1 year old or more?
Yeah. I think it's 6 months or 7 months.
Let me see.
Yes. Here we are.
A 7-month dog is considered an adult where you live?
Well, there's a very... It's really interesting how they kind of break it down. I don't have the exact months in front of me. I apologize, but the puppies, you know, there's a premium price for puppies up till they're 3 months old, and then from 3 to 7 or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us, we got just a moment left. Tell us.
Okay, Emma. Emma is like, she's a matchmaker. Isn't she awesome?
She's a beautiful
dog. She's just like in Jane Austen's book.
Yeah, she's a tan-colored, short-haired dog with a very happy expression and black eyeliner around her beautiful blue eyes, and she's a German Shepherd mix.
Yeah, and she's just one of the many, many dogs that we have available. And I wanted to mention Ladybug, who has been in foster and is back. Ladybug is a really...
No one's adopted Ladybug?
No, she's a white pit bull mix, and she's deaf. She doesn't get along well with other dogs, but she's an awesome dog and loves people, and it's just, she'll do anything for you.
Yeah.
She's one of our favorites. And she, her foster parent is going away for out of the country, and so she had to bring her back to the shelter, and we hope that we can actually find her a home by the time she gets back in 5 weeks.
Do you have people who help owners to deal with disabled dogs, like a deaf dog, for example?
Yeah, exactly. We're always there to help people sort of figure out different ways to cope with a disability. For example, in today's appeal that I sent out, or actually it was yesterday's, a woman adopted a cat that has nerve damage. Its tail got infected. We had to amputate the tail. But this woman had recovered from brain cancer in the 1980s and has dealt with facial paralysis for more than 20 years. And she understands nerve damage, and she was able to... She understands the problem. And we can help them out, and people
That's
also...
That's so cool.
Yeah. People also just want to help these animals that have special issues.
Now, there's another cat that is up for adoption named Haru, an orange cat, neutered, 3 years old, cute as can be, fluffy little yellow-eyed cat. It's time to go, otherwise we'll never get through Speaking of the Arts. So, Ben Swan, thank you so much for being here. And once again, the website is...
www.votetosavelives.org.
VoteToSaveLives.org. Ben Swan with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Thanks for being with
us. Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Love you.
Love you, too. And I'd like now to welcome to the program Diane Karp. She is the executive director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, and she's with us just about every Friday when Rob DeWalt's not here. Speaking of the arts, welcome, Diane.
Good morning. It's Friday the 13th, and it's going to be a great day.
A lucky day.
A fabulous week in the arts.
You know, speaking of the arts, can we just talk about this week's featured cat and get that out of the way?
Well, I think that's an artful thing to do.
This week's featured cat is Sammy. We always feature the cats that are available from Felines and Friends, not to mention the animal shelter and all sorts of other places where you can get cats and dogs. But anyway, the Felines and Friends always sends me on Thursdays an email about their cat. This week's featured cat is Sammy. She has come a long way after getting lots of TLC in her foster home. She's a playful girl who will fetch toys. She sounds like a dog.
Fetch toys.
I know.
My dog is like a cat, and that cat sounds a little bit like a dog.
And she has fun with her fellow foster kitty. She likes to snuggle. She has a medium-length black coat. If you're interested, call 505-316-2281.
So there's a lot going on this weekend, and all of it is absolutely interesting and diverse. There are two exhibitions that are opening tonight, one at the Argo Studio Gallery, which is over there on Louisa Street, and the other at Backstreet Bistro. And they are both going to be showing the work of Eli Levin. Eli Levin is a painter who was trained in the Social Realism School, New York. It should be a really interesting sort of pair of exhibitions. So swing by, take a look. There's a reception and book signing at 4:30 at the Argo Studio Gallery on Louisa Street.
Excellent.
At the Institute of American Indian Arts, the Digital Dome is going to be opening with a reception tonight from 5 to 8. A project that they've been working on with the Santa Fe Complex. And
We did an interview about that. That
I know.
Sounds so good.
People have to go
I
over
have
there.
To go.
The
we have
dome
to go.
Itself is such a piece of international strength right here in Santa Fe that most people don't take much advantage of. But it's an electronic dome that shows all kinds of electronic media and visual arts. Picture a dome that's like a planetarium that shows art, because that's exactly
that's
what it
so
is. So tonight, show up out there on Avenue Poe Road at IAIA and check it out. if you don't want to go all the way out there, or if you want to do something else that's closer to town, the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts, which is related to IAIA, is opening an exhibition called Ladies and Gentlemen, This is the Buffalo Show. And it's paintings and mixed media sculpture by Frank Buffalo Hyde, who is one of the most interesting Native artists that's working. He deals with contemporary social issues and political issues and cultural issues as well. And the reception is going to be tonight from 5 to 7. And while you're there, you'll be able to see the BFA exhibition of students from IAIA.
Can we say that we have a ticket giveaway?
Ooh, I love ticket giveaways.
I know, except I think...
Well, while you're looking for
let me tell you
that the New Mexico Arts has developed a presentation space, a gallery space in town called the Centennial Project Space, and it's the celebration of the 400th anniversary. It's at 54 and a half East San Francisco Street, and it's upstairs. It's kind of a hidden jewel, and there's an exhibition called Consumption. It's installation work by Nancy Judd and Nicole Morris. The reception's from 5 to 7. It's all kinds of stuff that they found out at the Buckman Recycling Center.
Oh, my goodness.
And they recycled into a very beautiful, poetic exhibition at the this sweet little niche of an exhibition space.
If we were to take all the stuff that was ready to be recycled and make art out of it, there wouldn't be any room for anything else left on the planet.
It would be all art, and we wouldn't have any room to make wars or any time or interest in making wars.
We'd just be making art. Okay, here's our ticket giveaway. Paco de Lucia, believe it or not, the world-class, unbelievably amazing guitarist, is going to be at Pope Joy Hall on Sunday, April 22nd at 7:30 in the evening. And the second caller to 428-1382 will get a pair of tickets.
Can I get off the radio and call?
No.
Oh, rats. Rats. I hate when that happens.
But you can go buy tickets.
Okay. I can do that, too. Santa Fe Clay has a reception this evening as well. It's an exhibition called Movement. It's work by Ryan Greenheck and Nick Gerling. And the work is beautiful. It's elegant, functional clay work that is artful, and it's worth just going to look at the exhibition. Maybe you'll end up buying something for your sweetheart. Tonight as well, we have the annual concert called Nuestra Musica, which is traditional music of New Mexico. It's at 7 o'clock at the Lenzik Performing Arts Center. And the curators are an amazing pair. Jack Loeffler is a historian, an oral historian, and a writer. And he's teamed up with the head of Spanish and Portuguese music at UNM, and they're bringing in some of the oldies but goodies, who are the performers from New Mexico, and they paired them up with a lot of very talented young musicians and performers. And
what's something new?
Interesting. They've really expanded it, because one of the beauties of Nuestra Musica, which is the music of New Mexico, and obviously, you know, it has Spanish and Mexican heritage, it has been that we've always sort of seen it as an old guard phenomenon. Now we've got this entire generation of very gifted young people, and they're highlighting them. So it's definitely worth checking it out tonight. If you're not interested in Nuestra Musica, Doug Lawrence Organ Trio is going to be up on Museum Hill, and we know how cool that group is. Doug Lawrence is a tenor saxophonist, and he's going to be performing jazz. The last thing that I would mention is that Our Town, this is the last weekend for Our Town, and you have to have an opportunity to see what is one of the best theater productions that we've had in Santa Fe for a long time.
So you saw it and loved it.
I saw it and loved it, and this is the last weekend. So Sunday's matinee is the last opportunity. The other thing you can do tonight is up at the Great Hall of Peterson Student Center on St. John's College. They have a free lecture by Christopher Ricks, and it's on T.S. Eliot's Othello. And T.S.
Nice.
Eliot took on and did a critique of the speech of Othello, and so I think it should be a very enlightening as well as very entertaining evening.
Now, you read the KSFR Music Cafe series.
Yes.
Okay, you just did that. I was double checking.
That was Doug Lawrence Organ yes. Trio up there at Museum Hill. I didn't call it the KSFR Jazz Series. But
it is the KSFR
it is.
Jazz
it
Series.
Is. We used to do it at the Art Institute. And,
yes.
And it's a perfect space to have it up at Museum Hill. The other thing is Todd Tierina Blues Trio is going to be at Second Street Brewery at the Rail Yard tonight from 6 to 9. There is no cover. I definitely recommend them. So there's all kinds of stuff to be doing tonight.
I love Second Street.
Second Street is not only is it great beer and good food, but it has a really wonderful community feel about it. Kind of like the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
The baking
right here
company.
At the baking company.
You know, the only thing about Second Street is they took the artichokes off their menu.
Did they really?
Yeah. They took them off before, and then they put them back on because everybody's girlfriends complained.
What does that mean?
It means that a lot of the women who came in to accompany the beer drinkers would always order the artichokes.
Oh,
that's
right.
What I heard.
Well, you know.
I'm talking rumors.
It could be true.
But then they took them off again.
But if there weren't any, you know, foundation in rumors, nobody would repeat them. obviously, on Saturday, if you are highbrow, one of the great pleasures is opera in HD, the Met at the Lensic.
Do you have to be highbrow?
Well, no, you don't.
You can be any brow.
You're right. But
Thank you. What
I'm trying to say is if you've never been to an opera, this is a brilliant place to start. And if you have been to an opera, it's also a brilliant thing to do. You get to hear Natalie Dessay, but not just hear her, see her up close.
Up close and
in
personal.
In a way that you can never accomplish if you go to the opera. Although, goodness knows, the Santa Fe Opera is one of the gems of the opera world, and you should always actually go to the opera. But they're doing Traviata, and that's at 11 in the morning and 6 p.m. at night.
Yeah.
And if there are any tickets available, go. And it's always worth going because someone invariably has a ticket that they need to get rid of.
That's true.
Don't back off just because there are no tickets.
And
on Saturday...
No, I have it.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
On Saturday, there's an artist talk, the Czech glass artist Alex Fekete is going to discuss his sculpture, and there's a reception in partnership with the New Mexico Glass Alliance. It's a fundraiser, if I'm not mistaken, for the Glass Alliance at Zane Bennett Contemporary Art on Saturday from 3 to 4.
Okay. Our World in Ferment, a two-day symposium to be offered by the Santa Fe World Affairs Forum. We'll look at the clash between change and status quo in Europe, China, Russia, and Mexico. The symposium is co-sponsored with UNM Center for Science, Technology, and Policy, and there will be plenty of time to interact with the speakers, who include, people from the Kissinger Institute on China, former State Department people, UNM people, foreign defense policy, Georgetown University, all kinds of amazing distinguished speakers. And it opens at 2 o'clock on Monday, April 16th at St. John's College. And there's a presentation on Europe and a reception. And then Tuesday, April 17th, it resumes. There is a price for admission. You can call and you can go separately or together. And let's see, they didn't give me a number, but for more information, the Santa Fe World Affairs Forum is sfwaf.org. And that sounds like might be fabulous.
As I have mentioned several times, there was an extraordinary exhibition at the Wheelwright Museum on Thunderbirds. And the exhibition is closing this weekend. But as a gesture to those who can get over to see the exhibition, Isaac Cories of Santo Domingo Pueblo is going to be talking about the Thunderbird necklaces that are on exhibit there. It closes on Sunday, April 15th. But on Saturday, there at 10:15 in the morning, he's going to be giving this talk. It is free admission, and he's a gifted scholar as well as practitioner. Worth getting over there on Saturday morning to see the exhibition before it closes and to hear the talk.
Now, here's something which could be very, very interesting. There is an event on Sunday at St. John's College in the Great Hall called Georgia on My Mind, Planting the Tree of Peace in the Republic of Georgia. And I'm very sorry that I was not able to get these students on because they look like a very smart and active group. But the performers include Andy Kingston, the St. John's College Jazz Band, the Georgian Polyphonic Singers, the traditional Georgian folk dancing troupe, and there will be traditional Georgian food and drink. It's Sunday afternoon, the 15th of April at 5 in the afternoon, the Great Hall at St. John's College. For more information, 984-6132. And sounds just interesting.
Oh, it
sounds
like...
I want to hear the polyphonic singers.
Yeah. On Sunday, moving on in the weekend, in concert, we've got the Heartless Bastards. It's a rock band that's going to be performing at 7:30 at Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill, so I recommend that highly. In the Books and Talks zone, poets are going to be reading from their respective collections, and that's Atsuro Riley and Amy Beater, and that's going to be at Collected Works at 6 p.m., part of the bookstore's Muse Times 2 reading series. And another reading that will be happening on Sunday is readings by writers and poets Lauren Camp, a great KSFR star.
We just had her on.
Yep, Margaret Randall and Elaine Maria Upton, and Richard Vargas, who are going to be reading about their families, their ancestors, their heritage. It's going to be at 3 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation over there on Barcelona Road.
And back to Friday, because I am, as always, completely non-chronological, not on purpose. Have you heard about this Capriccio Foundation? I think there's some kind of new art space.
Yes, it was an exhibition space, and I think what they did is they transformed themselves from an exhibition space into what they're calling a foundation. They're still doing these very interesting exhibitions.
Well, the one that opens tonight at 5 o'clock, from 5 to 7, is called Urban Untitled. Drew Dominic, David McDonald, Rebecca Potter, and Sarah Vanderlip are showing their work. And it's at 333 Montezuma Avenue here in Santa Fe.
Excellent. The Monday, can we move on to Monday?
You can
Is
move
that
on
okay?
to anything you want, because okay. you know I'm going to go backwards.
Okay, on Monday evening at 6 p.m., the Santa Fe Art Institute is going to be presented one of our artists in residence, Terry Reeb. And just as we were talking about the dome, Terry Reeb has created a special work for the dome that will be part of Isaiah in September, the International Electronic Arts Organization is going to be bringing its international exhibition to Albuquerque and Santa Fe and Taos. And Terry Reeb is going to be talking about the acoustical tours that she does. She does these marvelous sound landscapes that are interactional. You have yourself an iPad and some an iPhone and some earphones, and you can walk through a landscape and experience the acoustical structures that she's created. She's smart as a whip, very funny, very interesting, and she's going to be talking.
How smart are whips?
Oh, whips are crackerjack smart. Mm. And she's going to be talking about this whole interactional sound landscape phenomenon on Monday night at 6 p.m. at Tipton Hall. That will be followed by a reception. You'll get to talk to the people from the dome. You'll be able to talk to Terry Reeb. It should be a very interesting evening. Another thing that's going on Monday night is there's a talk on bolo ties, the rewriting of history.
Now we're talking.
Now we're talking at the Wheelwright Museum of American Indian Art. But that's not actually in the evening. That won't conflict with the 6 p.m. talk at the Art Institute. This talk is at 2:30 in the afternoon, and we already mentioned our World in Ferment that starts on Monday at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, starts the two-day global symposium.
Yes.
Another thing that's going to be happening that is quite wonderful, along with the Met in HD, Opera in HD performance at the Screen, is Tuesday evening. It starts at It's not. At 12:30 p.m. in the afternoon, and it's going to be the HD broadcast series continuing with, this time, Rigoletto, live from London's Royal Opera House. So if you can get a ticket to get over at the screen, which is on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, that's a real treat. In the evening, we have the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet.
Yes, that's Tuesday evening, and I'm going to be interviewing them on Tuesday morning. You will hear an interview with Tom and Jean-Philippe.
Marvelous. That is one of the great assets of Santa Fe and Aspen, Colorado. It is a world-class ballet troupe, and they travel all around the world to great kudos, and they're going to be performing Jorma Elo's Overglow, Nicole Fonte's Left Unsaid, and Square Nun by Norbert de la Cruz. Norbert de la Cruz is a force of nature.
I know. I saw all three of those the last time they did them. They're doing that encore.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to go. All three ballets are quite different, and they're all really great.
Yes, and the dancers are world class. The performance is gorgeous. The music is phenomenal. The costumes are beautiful.
Now, can I talk about the Cinematheque at the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts?
Sure you can.
They've got some amazing movies there.
Please.
I tried to get...
Jason Silverman.
Jason Silverman is a demigod.
Yes, he is.
Or maybe he's the full thing.
We'll keep it demigod for the time.
Anyway, there's a film called Boy. It's a New Zealand film, and apparently this thing was such a blockbuster in New Zealand that it was number one for like 89 weeks in a row or something like that. I mean, all the American movies came out and all the European movies came out, and this was a New Zealand-made film, and it's about an indigenous boy whose favorite person in the whole world is Michael Jackson.
Yes.
And it's basically the story of his life, and his dad is in prison, his dad comes home, and one thing leads to another. And it is very funny, and it is poignant, and it is so well made.
And it's smart, and it's relevant.
You've seen it.
Yes, and you have to go and see it. I agree with you. It is one of the great little films, not little, great films of the unexpected.
Well, and the thing is, because we tend to see mostly American films, European films, a few Australian films. But this idea of, like, is this an indigenous film?
Well,
you know?
In point of fact, one of the things that it addresses is indigeneity does not mean that you're closed off from the world's culture.
Yeah, exactly.
It just means that you contextualize it in a way that is different.
But anyway, it's beautiful and sweet and interesting and well-made, and all the actors are great, and it opens tonight.
Yes.
And also, Jiro Dreams of Sushi opens today. I guess they're.
I think they all open.
They all
today.
Open today. So like they've got a busy schedule in there. So Boy is 4, 6, and 7:30. Jiro Dreams of Sushi is 3:30. And they're between different theaters. 3:30, 5:30, and 8:00.
One of the things that you want to keep in mind is that these are films that are going to be here for at least a couple of weeks. And if you want to have them here longer, you need to go and support these marvelous venues for really good film. We're so lucky in Santa Fe.
We are indeed.
To have such an array of extraordinary films, independent films usually, that Dreams of Jiro is sushi made into exquisite poetic beauty.
Art. Sushi as art. Art as sushi. And Jiro Dreams of Sushi, it's a profound movie on many levels.
Yes.
I loved it. And Chico and Rita, the Cuban, Spanish-Cuban film, is still there. And that's a beautiful film. It's a full feature-length animated movie featuring the music of basically Cuba and the big band era in the 40s. And sort of going up to the present as well. And if you haven't seen the movie A Separation, which was the Oscar-winning best foreign language film, that's still there, too.
And every American should see that, especially at this moment in time when we're poised to get really aggressive with Iran. It expresses the simple reality that the Iranian people love truth and beauty and honesty and integrity. They care about their families.
And they've got the same neurotic problems that everybody
else does. And they're just as neurotic as we are, yes. Wednesday in concert. Point Reyes and Nini Julia Bang, Theater Grotesco and High Mayhem at the High Mayhem Studio. I recommend it. And then for talks, our beloved Desiree Mays, the author and lecturer, is going to celebrate the publication of Opera Unveiled 2012, 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday at the Unitarian Church on Barcelona Street. But the big thing, and I am so sad that I'm going to miss this, this is a life opportunity. On Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock at the Lensic, the poet W.S. Merwin with Michael Silverblatt. W.S. Merwin is one of the great poets of the 20th and 21st century. He's a man of integrity. The writing is exquisite. And this is an opportunity to actually hear the poet reading his work. If you can beg, borrow, or steal a ticket, get one. Get to the Lannan readings and conversations on Wednesday night.
This coming Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
Oh, my goodness. They have been so busy. They've been doing so many activities, the Lannan Foundation, because they're doing the politics and society and the readings and conversations.
Right. But W.S. Merwin is my hero.
Yeah.
He is a poet who has had influence on poets, writers, thinkers, musicians, scientists. He has had his finger touch and his ideas touch so much of contemporary culture. If, however, you would like to do something quite different, Plants and Ecology of the Valles Caldera is going to be a lecture by ecologist Rebecca Ortel, speaking as part of the Santa Fe chapter of the Native Plant Society of New Mexico's lecture series. And that's going to be 6:30 p.m. at Morgan Hall in the New Mexico State Land Office up at 310 Old Santa Fe Trail. And here's a secret, folks. If you can go to a lecture up there, go. Because it is one of the old houses of the White Sisters that was bought out by the New Mexico State Land Office. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful space. The landscaping is out of this world. It's an opportunity to see a piece of Santa Fe history and hear a wonderful lecture on plants and ecology of the Valles Caldera.
And Wednesday, April 18th at 7 o'clock, and the following Sunday as well at 2 o'clock, Theater Work is hosting readings of new works by Diana Lewis and Jennifer Lewis in the Pat Payne Room at the James A. Little Theater on the campus of the New Mexico School for the Deaf. And Jennifer Lewis's piece, Cow Prince, and Diana Lewis's pieces, The Apple Tree and Mare's Nest.
And that's a mom and daughter pair.
Yeah,
and
that's so cool.
They're both very talented writers.
Yep, so that's happening, and Theater Work always does good stuff.
Yes. On Thursday, Ellen Dornan, the author, is going to discuss stories and anecdotes collected from around the state for her book, The Forgotten History of New Mexico. That'll be at 7 p.m. It's part of the Bureau of Land Management's free lecture series and is going to be at the Public Lands Information Center on Dinosaur Trail. Another very interesting reading on Thursday is Gustavo Arellano, and he's talking about his book, Taco USA.
Taco USA.
See how Mexican food conquered America. That's 6 p.m. at Collected Works Bookstore. And Collected Works is another one of those powerful presences in
great treasure.
Great treasure.
And Gustavo Arellano wrote the best-selling book, Ask a Mexican.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh. We're over.
It's the music. Well, how can that have happened?
I don't know, but there is still so much to do. Pick up the PASA. Check out all of the things that are going on. Thank you, Mary Charlotte, for what you do so brilliantly.
Thank you, Diane Karp, for what you do and for being here. The Santa Fe Art Institute, of which Diane Karp is the director, is on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design there at sfai.org.
Join us on Monday night for Terry Reeb.
Yep. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Boyle Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at Facebook. I have a new Facebook because the old one filled up. Facebook.com/radiocafemc. What are you laughing at?
Imagine filling up your Facebook.
Filled up. So anyway, facebook.com/radiocafemc. I also am still trying to get on the Twitter wagon, but my Twitter handle is Radio Cafe MC. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. After that, jazz. Thanks so much to Sean Conlon for engineering today. He's sitting in for Marilyn LeBlanc. So what are you doing this weekend, Diane?
I'm going to be out in my garden in the rain, and I'm so pleased to be there.
Is it going to rain?
I'm counting on it.
Ah,
I ordered it. I was supposed to have brought it back with me from Portland, but it hasn't arrived yet.
Yeah, well, this is New Mexico. It always rains.
It always rains.
Have a great weekend. Hasta la vista.
Hasta la vista.
Ciao.
Baby.